I've titled this short talk, as Dennis said, it will be short, A Kingdom of Comfort. You see, Christmas is a really remarkable time. You can't avoid it in Britain. The authorities, the corporations, the establishments, the schools, the governments, the shops, whatever you engage with, they will be using Christmas and celebrating Christmas and talking of Christmas. You just can't get away from it. And it will be shaping what you think about Christmas, and it will be telling you what to think and to do about it and about your situation. You see, we're constantly told that there's a spirit of Christmas. I was wearing my Home Alone t-shirt just underneath here, and that talks a lot about the spirit of Christmas. And you probably know this if you know me, but if you don't, we just moved up here from London, and I think more than ever this year, we've probably entered into what people would say is a spirit of Christmas as a family. I'm a bit reluctant, a bit like Derek. I'm a bit of a humbug at Christmas. But this year I kind of felt a bit, I don't know, maybe a bit of parent guilt having moved my kids all the way up from London. And I thought, oh, let's just do what everyone wants to do. Let's have a really big Christmas tree. So we've got the biggest Christmas tree ever, ever. I mean, it is massive, our tree, if you've been around our house. And we've decorated it, and we had a Christmassy day a few weeks ago decorating their house. And we bowed into the peer pressure of our neighbours. We're in this one of these estates where we're the first row of houses, and apparently if you've got one of these houses, you have to decorate the outside with lights. So we've put big lights up on the outside of our house. Apparently not big enough. We need to go bigger next year, but we've tried. We've been ice skating. We've got advent calendars. We're going to go and watch the Star Wars movie. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that is the movie for Christmas this year. My in-laws are coming up, and we're going to have a big Christmas meal with all the trimmings. We're going to open lots of presents. We're going to play board games. And my kids are trying to drag me into this as well. We're even likely to go for a Boxing Day dip in the sea. Apparently, it's really warm up here in the Northeast. I don't know. But so it seems like we're doing Christmas right this year. We've got it, you know, we're doing a proper Christmas. But I've got this nagging feeling, to be honest, that I'm just possibly, potentially, on the cusp of missing the point. You know, am I just building a kingdom of comfort? You know, a kingdom where I'm in charge, my home. Am I just trying to make it as comfortable as possible? Maybe because that's what I've been told to do, and that's the picture we're given, that Christmas is about celebrations, family, food. And while all of this stuff is wonderful, it really is, there's nothing wrong with it. But if it's one where I'm just a few clicks away from buying some more stuff, because actually I'm just unhealthily wanting more stuff and more things. And if it's just about me being the king and in charge of all this and building it and giving my family the best Christmas ever, maybe I'm missing the spirit of Christmas entirely. Even if I've nailed this picture-perfect Christmas, which we are told is what Christmas is about. Maybe I'm just trying to live the Christmas dream and I'm building a physical kingdom of comfort through food and gifts and, you know, warm, toasty fires. Or maybe I'm building an emotional kingdom of comfort through family and friends and games. But the truth is, the reality is, many of us, whether we are going for this or not, we've been unable to build a kingdom of comfort no matter how hard we try. We're never entirely able to comfort ourselves. And in fact, what I've witnessed more and more, and I worked in mental health for 7 years, Christmas becomes a time where people are more uncomfortable than normal, where actually all this stuff just makes things more painful. Maybe physically we're unable to purchase even a Christmas decoration. You look at my massive tree and you think, well, I can't even afford a small one. Or you can't even afford a roast dinner on Christmas Day and you feel the pinch. Or maybe you're just unwell, or you've been unwell at Christmas and it brings back those memories. Maybe this year you're on death's door and you wonder, is this my last Christmas ever? And this time highlights all of this, making it more and more painful. Or maybe, and sometimes I think this is worse, we are socially, we're alone. We don't have friends, we don't have family, or at least we think we don't have friends and family. Or if we do have family, we don't have family that engage with us. We're left watching the screens. We're watching the telly or our phones or our computers. And these screens just paint that picture of what a perfect Christmas should be, making things even more painful. So Christmas is not just empty, but actually it can be more painful than you normally feel, and Christmas makes it worse. But maybe we've forgotten, or maybe we've never really understood what Christmas really means. Maybe we've never even asked that question. You know, the wise men, we heard this reading a second ago, they asked, where is he who was born a king today? And for many, many weeks at Hope Church, the last 4 weeks actually, we've been learning that for thousands of years, people were prophesying a new type of king. A new king was on the way. And this king was for the people who were lost. This king was for those who were empty. This king was for those, even those who had amassed materials but still felt hollow inside. This king was for those that were now homeless, that had fled their home, or those that had been cut off and were all alone. Well, we were told again and again and again for hundreds, if not thousands of years, a new king is coming. And Isaiah said, this king will be God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. This king will be God with us. This will be a king with us. No ordinary king. This would be a king who left his own kingdom of comfort. You see, this king already lived in a really comfy place. He was in the heavenly realm. He was physically comfortable in his kingdom. On the throne, he was looked after. It was glorious. He was emotionally satisfied. He had the perfect community, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and all the angels adoring him. So he was physically and emotionally satisfied in his kingdom of comfort. I mean, just pause there for a sec. Can you imagine Boris Johnson living in his nice, comfy home? I don't know where he lives, actually. Thinking, you know what? I'm going to give all that up to go and learn what it's like to be one of the people. Can you imagine that? I can't. I tried to imagine Mike Ashley doing that too and thought, no way. Leaving their comfort behind rather than just amassing more and more comfort. Giving it all up just to be one of the people, to relate and understand. And little did these prophets know, even though they were prophesying this, little did they know that this king, this God, would become fragile and vulnerable like a newborn baby. Not just like a newborn baby, would actually become a newborn baby. What kind of king is this? Well, the king was Jesus. And he's the king that the wise men were looking for. And he was the king being predicted and prophesied for thousands of years. And he is the king that decided to leave this kingdom of comfort where he was comfortable and to become wholly uncomfortable, to be helpless in a stable with the animals. This is not just a pretty stable, dirty, smelly stable. I've worked with animals and they're not a nice place to be. That was his choice. He could choose to do whatever he wanted to do. He's the king. In a manger to be placed where the animals eat out of. And then to grow up in Nazareth. I mean, you think Station East Bedlington is bottom of the pile. Well, this was a town that, you know, is totally forgotten by the government. This was a town that was bottom of the piles, called a backwater town. You know those little rivers that when Blythewither is full up, they fill up. And then when Blythewither goes out and the tide goes out, they're smelly and they're left muddy and dirty and you see all the rubbish in it. That's what backwater town means. This was what Nazareth was like. You think it's bad here. You think that your home is a bit moldy, or that your job is a dead-end job. Well, he chose that as his home, and he was a carpenter's son because he wanted to be one of the people, just a basic down-to-earth job. Born in a stable, placed in a trough for the animals to eat out of. This was the king of the universe, a baby, one of us, a man of the people, experiencing all that a human can experience. So I don't know, if you feel lonely today, well, there is a God, the king who has been there, and he feels it with you now. He's God with us. If you feel pain, well, there is a God who has been there, and he has felt it with you. He is God with us. If you feel hungry, he knows what hunger feels like. And you know what? And I've tried to find another religion that states this kind of claim. There isn't one. There is no other religion on the face of the planet that says that their God would become a man. Because every other religion, everything that you do will say you have to do X, Y, and Z to be comfortable. But this God said, actually, it's all about what I'm going to do for you. This is our God. This is the Christian God. And this is the Christian message at Christmas. That God would leave his comfort where he reigned, where he was in charge. And he would join you here now in your discomfort. He would become like you. And this is the message of Christmas. He did it for you because he wants a true, real relationship with you. Right now, this afternoon, it was all about relationship for him. How can you have a relationship if you don't know, truly know, what someone's going through? Well, Jesus knows. He is God with us, maker of the universe, maker of everything, became a baby to be God with us. So I'm going to leave us with two thoughts. How do we then enter the spirit of Christmas? Firstly, you do what the wise men said. You say, where's this king? You go find Jesus. And you can do that now. You can do that later. You can do it whenever. Jesus is here. He's with us. You can find him. You ask that question and you'll find out when he's come to earth. He's God with us. He's here right now. And secondly, if God can leave his kingdom of comfort for us, I want to challenge us. What comforts can we leave for others this Christmas? You see, Sally Jane came to me, my daughter, she's 10. She came to me a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about presents. And like I said, I want to do the big present thing this year, or at least my family does. But Sally Jane said to me, Dad, actually, I've been thinking about it. I know you want the Christmas list, but can I give away half of my presents this year? And she said to me, she went on to Google, she said, and she had Googled what the biggest problem facing the human race was, and it's cancer. So can you make sure that we're supporting cancer this year? How can I do that, Dad? So I said, great, well, why don't we just do a donation to a cancer charity instead? And she's on it. That's what she's done. But I tell you what, while that's great for her, it greatly challenged me because I thought, well, what am I doing this year? What comforts can I give up? Can I give up some of my presents? Can I give up my Christmas dinner? Can I give up time with family? Can I give up... what else do I like doing at Christmas? Yeah, can I give up a football match? Can I watch something different on Boxing Day? Can I invite my neighbour in and open up my family a little bit when I know my neighbour's all alone? What comforts can I give up this Christmas? And so this is the story of a king that would give up his comforts for you. If you want to know more, speak to Dan at the back. He's got some books that can help you, or come next Sunday. And it's also a king that would give up his comforts for you. So what comforts will you give up this Christmas? Let me just quickly pray for us, and then we'll get on with our next carol. Jesus, you are the great king who left heaven to come here on earth and be God with us. And you chose it in a way that meant you are one of the people, and you know exactly what we're going through today. So thank you, we can come to you, Jesus. And thank you that you challenge us to go to others too. And we pray this in your name. Amen.